So John chapter 6, starting to read at verse 16, and we'll read through to the end of verse 35. John chapter 6 then, starting to read at verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And we thank God for the reading of his word. Well, do have your Bibles open at John chapter 6. And you may find it helpful to have the weekly news sheet in front of you. It tells you what verse I'm preaching on this morning. And the verse is also stated there for you. I just need to turn to John 6 before we begin. Well, let me ask you a question. I think I know the answer to it. Do you like food? Most of us like food. I think I like it when we have guests come to our house, because it means that my wife goes that extra mile in order to put really good food on the table. We don't always get an afters during the week at home, but if there's somebody coming, rest assured, we do. And of course, people will pay good money to have good food. You know, people will even go to church if they know that the service is going to be followed by a free meal. In recent days, the rains have come to Zimbabwe. And you know what that means, don't you? It means that the crops will grow and that there will be food. I imagine that some Zimbabweans, when they saw the first rains falling, went out into the open air and danced in the rain. Because as you know, things have been extremely difficult in that country in recent times. We all like our food, and our text this morning has something to say about food. John 6, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." There are three things that I want to emphasize this morning, and the first is this: do not work for food that spoils. Now let's just put this verse into context. Let's go back to the previous day. The previous day, you see, Jesus had fed 5,000 plus people with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The likelihood is that there were around 20,000 people that were fed on this particular day. And everyone had their fill, and there were quite a number of basketfuls that were left over. Well, the next day, these people, I don't know exactly how many of them, saw that Jesus and his disciples had left, presumably gone over to the other side of the lake, and so they decided to make the journey themselves. Why did they make that effort? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 26, because they ate the loaves and had their fill. In other words, they rode the 5 miles across the Sea of Galilee in the hope that Jesus would give them some more food. Free food. It's always good when it's free. Well, this led Jesus to saying the words of our text, which begin, "Don't work for food that spoils." Now, perhaps we ought to say, for fear of any misunderstanding, what Jesus did not mean when he spoke these words. He did not mean that people shouldn't work in order to eat. Paul, for example, in Ephesians 4 and verse 28 says this: "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." And then Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus to settle down and earn the food they eat." So Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't work in order to feed ourselves. What I think Jesus is saying is that we shouldn't labor endlessly in order to pursue the things of this world that do not last. In other words, the things that perish or spoil. And Jesus isn't just talking about bread. The application is wider than that. Jesus, therefore, is saying that we shouldn't spend our lives pursuing things that are temporary, pursuing things that are not eternal. What did Jesus say in Mark 8 and verse 36? "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?" I sometimes like telling the story about a man who went to a funeral service of an extremely wealthy woman. And after the service, this man said to the vicar, "How much did she leave behind?" And for the vicar, the answer was straightforward: everything. You see, we come into this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. What I find interesting is how that the pharaohs in Egypt were buried with all their worldly goods. And the reason they were buried with all their worldly goods was because they believed that they could take them into the afterlife. But of course they were deluded. And all their treasures in more recent days have been discovered. Some have been stolen, some have been put in museums. They were unable to take them with them. Do not work. Do not labor for food that spoils. Jesus was concerned that that was exactly what these people that had gone to meet him were doing. I wonder this morning, are there any of us who are simply pursuing the things of this world and nothing else? Secondly, work for food that endures to eternal life. Work for food that endures to eternal life. In other words, Jesus says in this verse, pursue eternal life for all it's worth. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus says to us this morning, do whatever it takes to get eternal life. Jesus, you may remember, told two parables, which I think highlight what's being said here in our verse. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. Jesus impresses upon us in this verse to do whatever it takes, to sell everything that we have if it's necessary, in order to make sure that we obtain eternal life. Why hadn't these people sailed all the way across the lake in order to ask him for eternal life? That's what he wanted them to ask him for. Not food. Friends, there is an eternal hell to escape from, and an eternal heaven to gain. I don't like talking about hell. And you probably don't really like me talking about it either, but let's make no mistake. Hell is a place of darkness and torment and is real. It's as real as the chair that you are sitting on. And we know that it is real because Jesus spoke about it. In fact, he spoke more about hell than he did heaven. So there is an eternal hell to escape from, but there is also an eternal life in heaven to be gained. And heaven is just as real as hell is, only it is wonderful. Not so much because the streets there are paved with gold, or that a life there is free from pain and suffering and sin, but because it is the dwelling place of God. It is the dwelling place of the Father and the Son. To go to heaven is to spend eternity with God and to be satisfied by Him forever. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which, thirdly, the Son of Man will give you. Jesus will give these people eternal life if they do the work that God requires. You see, Jesus, as we said last week and the week before, is the Son of Man. He is one who has sovereign power. Do you remember what we said the prophet Daniel had to say about the Son of Man? Let me read to you from Daniel 7, 13 and 14. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Look at what Jesus says about himself elsewhere in this chapter. Look at verse 35 of chapter 6. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is one of seven "I am" sayings in the Gospel of John. You see, Jesus is the great I am. Do you remember the conversation that took place between Moses and God at the burning bush? Let me read to you something from Exodus chapter 3. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you." Moses was worried about how he would introduce himself to the Israelites as their leader. Why on earth should they follow him? God says to him, "Tell them, I am has sent you." The God, in other words, who always has been and always will be. Well, Jesus, many years later, said, "I am the bread of life," as well as the door and the way and the truth and the life, and so on and so forth. During the days of Moses, the Israelites wandered through the desert or through the wilderness for 40 long years. But during that time, God provided for them in miraculous ways. And you will know, I'm sure, most of you, if not all of you, the story of how God sent manna, a bread-like substance, to them every single day that they were to go out and collect from the ground. Manna sent from heaven. Well, this manna sustained them and gave them physical life. But look at what we read in verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." That manna, that bread in the Old Testament at the time of Moses, was not the true bread. No, it was a type of the bread that was to come. It foreshadowed the true bread that was to come. It pointed to the bread of life. The one who came from heaven, not to give physical life to the world, but eternal life. I want to stress from these verses one particular word. And I want to emphasize it in response to what Jesus says at the beginning of verse 27. "Do not work for food that spoils." Sorry, in response to verse 28, but let me pick it up at verse 27. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe." That's the word. Verse 29. Get it right in a minute. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." What is the work that God requires? In order to receive eternal life from Jesus, the work is to believe. Now, when Jesus talks about believing, he's not simply talking about people believing about the truth. You see, even the demons believe the truth about Jesus. In fact, they probably believe more truth about Jesus than you and I do, because they know more truth about Jesus than you and I do. The devil knows the Bible really well. When Jesus, or any of the gospel writers for that matter, talk about believing in Jesus, they're really talking about trusting in Jesus. You see, I might believe that this chair behind me can take my weight, but I don't really believe in it until I actually sit down on it. You might believe that there's a good bank in Swanley where you can put your money, but you don't really believe in it until you put your money in it, until you trust them with your human resources. The work that God requires for people to receive eternal life from Jesus is believing or trusting in him. Now, I think it's fair to say that everything I've said so far is fairly straightforward. But let's just complicate things a little bit by looking at verses 50 to 54. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 51 to 54. You can follow it in your Bibles. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Now, it's so easy for us to be confused by these verses. Why would Jesus say, believe and receive eternal life in the first part of the account, and then right at the end, seemingly change his mind and say, well, no, actually, if you want to receive eternal life, you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood. Let's face it, Jesus is not going to contradict himself, is he? Not within the space of such a short amount of time. So what's going on here? What is Jesus saying? Well, perhaps first of all, we ought to say what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not here talking about cannibalism. I think it's pretty obvious to say that he's not talking about cannibalism, because there were lots of people that came to Jesus, believed in him and received eternal life from him, who never actually ate his flesh or drank his blood. In fact, there's nothing in the Gospels to suggest that anybody ever came anywhere near to eating him. So I think we can dismiss that notion pretty quickly. But secondly, Jesus is not talking about transubstantiation. I don't know whether any of you have got Roman Catholic backgrounds, but the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is that the bread and the wine at the communion service actually become the body and blood of the Lord. Now, I could say a lot this morning in response to that, because I think it's a terrible doctrine or a terrible teaching. But I think it will suffice to say that Jesus does not have in mind the Lord's Supper when he speaks these words in John 6. He hasn't even instituted his supper yet. That won't happen until just before he is taken away to be crucified. Moreover, there were lots of people, as I said a few moments ago, that came to Jesus and believed in him and received eternal life, who never even sat down to receive the bread and the wine at the Lord's Supper. Maybe there's just one person that I can emphasize, and that is the thief on the cross. I mean, he was never baptized, but he received eternal life. He never took communion, but he received eternal life. Remember me, he said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus didn't go into a panic. I say this reverently. Please don't think I'm being flippant when I say this. But Jesus didn't go into a panic thinking, oh dear, how are we going to get this guy baptized, before he dies? Or how am I going to get some bread and some wine to him? Because if I don't, he's gonna die and go to a lost eternity. No, that wasn't the response of Jesus. When this man believed on him, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So it's not talking about cannibalism, and it's not talking about transubstantiation. What Jesus is simply saying here is that just as one looks to food, earthly food, in order to be sustained, in order to live physically, so one must look to him in faith in order to live eternally. I think if we look at verses 40 and 54 together, it's quite instructive. Let's read these two verses. Firstly, verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. Then look at verse 50. These two verses look like parallel verses. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread. Sorry, verse 54. I'm reading the wrong verse, getting myself in all sorts of trouble this morning. Verse 54, let me make it clear. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. These two verses put together, it seems to me, suggest that to eat Jesus' flesh and to drink his blood is to put one's faith or one's trust in him. To feast on him, as it were, by faith. So the work of God is not to bring our so-called good works to Jesus in the hope that we will have done enough to please him and receive eternal life from him as a reward. No. Rather, the work of God is to come to Jesus, or to go to Jesus, in repentance and faith, mindful of our sinfulness, and that our only hope is to receive it from him as a gracious gift. Well, that said, what is it that we really want? What is it that we really want? Do we want to spend our time pursuing food that spoils, that perishes, that we have to leave behind when we die? Or do we want food that endures to eternal life? In other words, do we want the gift of God that is simply received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me read verse 27 again as we finish. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Let's pray together.